what should we look at?
You could look at need help, which is a much better approach for me than that you need help.
Okay, I can look at needing help. I can look at the belief that I need help. I've been looking at this obsession. So I know obsession over the years. You know, looking at looking at worry and obsession. You know, worry is definitely not new. And the content over the years just changes, right? And so when I was wondering about the belief I need help about, is that I sort of feel stuck and vulnerable to and afraid of the worry and obsession.
Okay. So there's the worry and obsession, which is one issue, but you're afraid of the worry and the obsession, not of the content of the worry and the obsession.
No. That's not it, probably. I don't know. Before I would have been convinced it was the content and not the process. And I would have been trying to fix it.
Right, change the external circumstances so that you wouldn't have to feel that way.
Right.
Because we all know that when we get the externals just right, then we will feel the way we want to feel.
Oh, yeah.
But enough years have passed, the process of worry and different content filling that slot, that you're suspecting that there might be an endless progression of content fit into that slot, and therefore you might want to look at worry and obsession directly.
Yes, and then the other thing that it's doing to me right now is it's taken spiritual practice and made it something that will now fix it. So also the thing we have to do, right? But there's sort of not a, that's a good idea. That's not a bad idea to record and listen more, sit more. Those aren't bad ideas. And I still have to encounter my daughter and her homework. Which is a trigger.
A trigger, but not necessarily worry and obsession.
Well, it triggers it.
Oh, because you're afraid there's something going on with her that's going to be a problem that is going
to... And I have to tell her. I just need to grant the homework to do that, quite frankly. It's worse than you thought.
Okay. All right. So what you're closing in on is, if you could get to the bottom of this worry and obsession, then whatever the content is would just be an endless stream of life content, and you would be with it, and it would pass away, and all of that.
Yes.
Okay. So it's what's going on in here that is the issue, not what's going on out there.
Right.
We're clear about that.
Yes,
okay. So it seems kind of then good in that what you need to do, and you know you need to do, is stop giving your attention to the worry and obsession and shift your attention to what is actually so. Because in this moment, your daughter, there's nothing wrong with your daughter. If she doesn't do her homework, doesn't do it right, or doesn't want to, or has an attitude, and then she's going to grow up, and then pretty soon she'll be a teenager, and she'll be into drugs, and she'll be pregnant, and then you'll have to raise the child and do that child's homework. Okay. So redirecting attention away from the and putting it into the present. Does that seem? See, you know that, so I'm wondering if there's another answer you want.
Okay, so here's your answer. I like this morning. We'll just take this morning. So I decided I'll get up and live my life. My life, right? My life. Not the story about what her life and what I should be doing about it. Mm-hmm. But just, you know, I had to clean the bathroom. You know, chores! And get breakfast. And get ready to come here. And so that was super helpful. Until I caught, I mean, I didn't catch her during the break. I just saw her doing her homework. And all of a sudden,
I think most parents want their kids to do
it. It's somewhat illogical. So, the thing that I noticed was there was all this energy that it didn't make sense that was there just by, oh, she's doing her homework.
Okay. So, what you're seeing is that these triggers put you in touch with great big energy that then gets dissipated, used up by ego in a story about something that's wrong, that you need to worry about or be concerned about or upset about or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. And yet you've had all that energy. And I, for me, cleaning the bathroom first thing on a Sunday morning, I would want all the energy I have. Fits nicely with your, I just am going to live my life.
Right. I got a lot of energy from living my life, too.
Yeah.
I had energy and it got bigger.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
That is the way it works.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, really, it's so helpful to have a clear example like that, right? Because what you're, I mean, we talk about this stuff all the time, right? But it's only helpful when it's right here and we see it for what it is and really get it, right? So there you are going along. If you're just living your life, whatever the heck that means, right? For most of us, it doesn't actually mean living our lives. It means living some somewhat acceptable form of ego's life. Okay? But you're being monitored, right? So you've got X amount of life force, and it's being used to sustain your life, which as we look at it more and more, we realize it's not my life at all, it's conditioning life. Okay, so you're going along and you've decided that you're going to have your life for yourself. Suddenly, you have a lot of energy that you didn't previously have because unconsciously you were letting it be siphoned off into and then this and then that and I don't know why and me what and they and she and okay, which is what passes for most people as their life. Did everybody get that? That's really big. Okay, it's not a life. It's not at all a life. It's a conversation about ego's life. Okay, so you're going to have your life for yourself. So immediately you have this extra energy. Well, it doesn't work for ego for you to have your life for yourself. Because you have all this energy and it's not getting any. Can you see that?
Yes, I got it.
And so we have these triggers, right? So homework, child. Okay? Now you're really in touch with all this big energy because there's the energy that you're supposed to generate to be upset about her and her homework and her school and whatever the rest of the story is, right? But you're paying attention to it. So you actually have the opportunity. This is where it's important for all of us, okay? Every time one of those triggers hits, if we're paying attention, then we get that energy for ourselves. Before it was siphoned off, now we get to have it. Yeah? There's more I can tell. You're not just ecstatic here.
Okay, so here's what I know that happened is I had all that energy, I was paying attention, and then before I knew it, I got tricked into blowing it on another one of the children who instantly I asked her to do something and she didn't, and I was like, ah!
Yes.
I don't know what that means, and he never, you know, and it's like,
yeah.
You know, it's like I got
That's right.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is this question.
Oh. problem is clear. The problem is that once again, ego got it, and I didn't feel good about it, and she didn't feel good about it.
That's right. That's right. But that's not a problem with obsessing and worrying,
no.
Unless you turn the fact that ego can still get you into a problem that you need to worry and obsess about.
Which I pictured that.
Which you would like you to do.
That's cool.
Yes. And so, you know, in that humility building way, we say, wow, I did really well on that one. Not so well on that one. Yeah. But I saw it. And since we're doing awareness practice, that's really all that matters, seeing it.
I do have to say that it was not as draining, that process.
No.
Because she actually jumped out and I said, oh, for a second, here's the better tone, here's the dish towel. That was just sort of on. It wasn't that.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, I can't believe you did it that way. Well, of course I was coming here knowing it really happened right before you came. So that was the good news because he didn't have time to catch me.
Well, and there's an assumption that if you had more time, it would have, which is not necessarily the case, right? Now, again, the importance of that is it would always like you to end on a sour note. So, okay, well, you did really well, but if I had more time, I would have gotten you again.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
Yes, and so there's no sense in that because that feeds into the worry and the obsession.
Right, that's the worry and obsession that it's going to get.
And it will. So you don't need to worry in the Of course it will. Right? That, of course it will. Which is really, honest to God, when we're not coming from a conditioned place, that is good news. Because it's kind of like a, you know, when kids were little and you gave them baths, right? And, you know, they had dirty feet. But you felt better not noticing. No, we're cleaning the kid, right? We want the whole kid to be cleaned. And that's what we're doing with this. You know, we're cleaning up karma. We want it all to be cleaned up. Not, I feel better if I didn't encounter that, and so I don't have to see it, so I feel better. That's such a setup. So really, if we're not encountering something all the time, then we can know that we're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was
good. Well, I was stuck on the dirty feet, but what I went to both of them was that you just clean them.
That's right.
That you're going to, and you're going to dirty feet every single day.
That's right. And it's not a mistake. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity to clean up karma.
Every day. It might be the same, you know, feet. I mean, the armpit of karma, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
And so we just clean it.
That's right. And if we stay with the little kids, you know, first you wash the hair. And so I'm really good about that. And then you notice the face. Okay? And then you worked on that, and now you're going all the way to the feet. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you notice the hair is dirty. And, so that's, you know. But and I don't want to do the we are here too, because I don't know why we're here, quite frankly. I have my theories. But, you know, you've all heard one about the penal colony from a far off galaxy. You know, we are the Australia of some other, you know. But anyway, I don't know what we're doing here. But I do know that we have the opportunity to end suffering. And the only way we're going to end suffering is to clean up the karma, clean up those triggers. So every time, it's as simple as every time you feel bad. And it's not learning to feel better because you're not seeing anything. That's not it either. That's very popular. You know, there's enough distraction, enough unconsciousness, and I don't even know I feel bad. But we're doing a different... because we know we have the opportunity to get suffering. So wherever we're on the lookout. We're not, you know, we are going after it. And the thing that I feel good about, I happen to know your children, so I know which ones those were. For that older child, I'm really glad she gets to see that mom. You know, mom goes, and then goes, okay, you know, that's not how I meant that to go. So how I really wanted it to go is, I'd love to have some help with that, and thank you so much for doing that, and what a great human being you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she gets to see, not the perfect human being never has an emotional reaction. That, you know, this generation growing up, maybe up to, how old are they now? Maybe 12 or 15 or something like that, maybe a little older than that. I mean, they think if they don't live with the Stepford wives and the Stepford husbands, you know, these automatons, who never stop. I mean, it's like conditioned Prozac or something. You know, they're going to get a whole different recovery program where they learn to actually feel something, have emotion, and not be guilt-ridden if they had a sensation. That was fine.
I just wanted to note that I caught collusion a couple times last week. I caught collusion a couple times last week, and it was so true helpful to have that's collusion.
Yeah.
So I want to tell you one of the
situations. Yeah, please, tell me.
And there were different collusions. The first was, I don't remember the content now, but I did something for which it could have been a beating kind of thing. And conditioning is really not terribly significant.
You can't hear you?
Okay, so
if you signal me again, because I'm happy to reply. I just spent the weekend in an environment where there were probably, I don't know, 80 of us in this room, in a big room. And the facilitator never reflected. And let me tell you, we must reflect, because there is nothing quite as exciting as sitting while you hear half of a conversation. You have no idea who's talking or what they're saying or what they're talking about. It's not fun, so we must reflect, and I will if you can't hear.
So I caught collusion a couple times, and the first one, I don't remember the content, but it was something for which there might have been a meeting. I think it sort of started up. And I pretty much don't go there anymore because it's so obvious.
Right.
And then, but what came in was a kind of reasonable voice about, well, but that really wasn't very, you know, that really wasn't very, it could have been, it really was a problem. And I thought, if I go with that voice, that's collusion. It was so helpful.
Good for you.
It was so helpful to see that.
Yes.
Because it was so reasonable.
So reasonable, yeah. And it's very much what I was just ranting and raving about with the children, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they don't get these, perhaps they don't get these, you're a little deeper, whatever. You know, they get, now that really wasn't very nice, and you therefore are not a very nice person as a result. And so,
yeah. So that was helpful.
Teaching to collude.
Yeah, teaching.
It's really teaching people to collude.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't call yourself names. Just very rationally point out what a little creep you are.
Exactly. Yeah. So now it's, and catching that collusion allowed it to just drop.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is.
Right. Irrelevant. And then the second one was actually kind of funny. So I had a big time birthday last week, one of those decade things.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And so I was in gym class, that was on Wednesday and Thursday, I was in gym class, and all of a sudden these messages started coming in about, well, you know, this is really hard work, and you know, maybe you ought to sort of back off a little, and I thought,
now you're officially old.
It's Tuesday, this is hard work, you know.
Right.
There was this kind of incessant little undertone of, oh, you know, this is a whole new era, and oh boy, and I just, it would have been, again, it would have been so easy to buy into it if I hadn't heard it.
Yes.
And I said, that's collusion,
uh-huh.
And I'm not going there.
Uh-huh.
But boy, it was so insidious.
Yes.
And again, so almost reasonable, you know, almost believable.
Oh! Oh, absolutely, because it's just plugging into what everybody believes and
yep.
everybody says.
Yep.
Well, must be true for me too.
Yeah.
Oh, but gosh, I'm not having that experience.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to help that.
Yeah, oh, that's good. And it is such a commercial for awareness practice because I just spent this weekend with a lot of people that I don't normally spend the weekend with. And unconsciousness is alive and well. And the suffering that goes with it is ungodly. I mean, I'm not in touch with that. You know, I spend all my time with people who are on the let's look at this and get to the other side of it. Not, I don't even know there's another possibility. Oh my God, it's just heartbreaking. Because it means the stuff will just come out of their mouths. There's just no self-consciousness because there's such a deep belief that this is just true. It's just how it is. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have an awareness practice where you can see at that level, I mean, you're in gym class and you're doing what's going on and you're trained to be watching all of the internal processes such that you can hear what the voices, the messages of the voices are. That we all must have.
Well, I'm trained to catch the voices and train them to check in with the body and say, is it true?
Yes. Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet. Probably never. Yeah. Thank you.
I have maybe a question. This has been interesting. But we've been talking about projection, and then so there's a situation, it's like a high energy interaction, and then I walk away feeling, you kind of understand how projection, so there's one thing of just the awareness, so yeah, we don't want to avoid those interactions, because that's what practice is, and that's what, how we see our karma. And bringing compassionate awareness to it is one thing, and maybe the only thing. But in terms of projection, so you know, like I get triggered, I don't like how I acted, I walk away and feel bad, and I can feel really bad about that. And then, is there a projection, or like what? So I'm like, oh, they think this, and this about me. So there's this projection. Not in the sense of, oh, I think that person, but what that person thinks about me. So I'm just kind of...
The double reverse projection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do we want to talk about that, or just kind of cut to the chase?
Cut to the chase is fine.
Okay. And then we can go back if we need to. But here's the thing. So, if you are... just talking about this on the radio show. If you were listening and it's familiar, just pretend like you've never heard it. Makes me good. So you're somewhere and you turn around and there's this astounding sunset.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow, that conversation starts. That is so wow, that is really beautiful. Because you didn't notice. It was beautiful, right? That is really beautiful. I wish I lived somewhere where I could see the sunset every day. It knew what we might be. The only other sunset I've seen was beautiful was on that lake. I really thought we could make it. Yeah. Now that's an extreme, but it's a parallel to what's going on with you. Okay. So whatever it is happens, and then it starts, and it starts slowly. You know, maybe you'll just look to see what's going on in your body, the energy in your body. And then it'll start dropping in little insights about what you said and how they looked and their response and, okay, and it's picking up speed now, right? Because every time one of those happens, it's kind of a right? And now the story, now before long, if you don't reel it in, it's doing a review of every one of those situations you've ever been in and explaining, this is why people don't like you. Is this? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. So, that sunset, you got as much as you were going to get out of that sunset the first split second you saw it. Everything after that is leaving the sunset. So we would be well served to just go, thank you, and walk off and do something else. We won't, of course, but, okay? But the alternative to walking off and doing something else is just to practice sitting and watching the sunset, coming back to the breath, just breathing and watching the sunset. Breathing and watching the sunset, because if we let this go, if our attention wanders for a second, it's going to go downhill. So, in those events, you have learned as much as you're going to learn about that from at the moment that it's over, whatever that is, person spits at you and turns on their heel. Okay? That's a signal to the end. Right? And then you just come back and you breathe. You breathe. You don't engage this at all. Not at all. You just breathe and let it all go. Let the body calm down. Let it go. You're here. Here. And the beauty of it is that life, intelligence, God, whatever you're into, will inform you of what you need to see from that experience. But it never comes in here.
I guess I would say, even if I'm the spitter, that's the same answer.
Same answer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because it really doesn't matter whether it's your egocentric karmic conditioning self-made or somebody else's egocentric karmic conditioning self-made. It's all the same egocentric karmic conditioning self-made. We share it.
Yeah, I had this weekend I was thinking, like, those interactions are, the energy is moving fast, right? But the voice and the mind and the response, they never match up with how fast energy is exchanging. And so it really is, if it's reduced to the energy and not who said what and who did what, there's something there. And there's no way you can speak as fast as that's happening. And so it's all just a wash. I mean, it's none of it is, it's just a high energy.
Yeah. In fact, at a certain point, you can just go, woo! This is amazing! Are you feeling it?
I wish to be more productive.
Yes, far more productive. And more accurate.
Yeah.
More accurate. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I love you! It's great! And they'll walk off. Especially if I get that work.
Yeah. Well, ego would hate that because then I wouldn't have said that. And then there's not too much to grab on if you just go, you know, enjoy the ride. No.
That's right. And that's why, that's the argument for nothing. It doesn't get to grab on to anything. Because you're right, the review has nothing to do with what happened. All that's happening in that review is telling the same karmic story and using this event as proof. Mm-hmm. But this event is not proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the story's already there.
That's right. Yeah, and it's looking for places to reinforce it.
Yeah.
And of course, the main thing about that is, what a meal. You know, you're just transferring a ton of life force to ego in that moment. And then, of course, you're just going to wrap it up and
wait
for it.
Yeah, great.
And in my experience, it's the only thing that is a more difficult practice is when you just had one of those you know, the heavens part and the rays shine down and you're completely illuminated and everything comes together and you go, thank you, and never think about it again. Equally hard practice. Because ego, of course, you know, it doesn't care. Big negative, big positive, it doesn't care. Energy. Well, this is amazing. Okay then. Now, from now on, you'll never have to do one of those things again, because now you've seen how it all works. And this, and it's the same process where it completely drains the energy before it puts on the story.
That's a good point.
Yeah. So what you want to do when you have all that energy, what would you like to do? Want to go for a job? Want to dance? Want to yell, I love you? What do you want to do? But make sure you have a big thing of that. Whatever it is, you want to have the energy for you, not let ego take it away from you. Yeah. And of course, it would take. You're going to enjoy the energy of having acted like that? Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah. And, of course, the thing that we have to console ourselves with, or comfort or reassure, I guess is a better word, is that that is the route to not doing that behavior again. The other is about to repeating it and repeating it and repeating it. Mm-hmm. But when there's no feeling bad, increasingly, there is no desire to have that experience. Mm-hmm. Is there more?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So I had a really, really one of those soft parts. Coming down the street. And it was very interesting because there's so much of the conversation today that that solidified it for me. And I was looking at the acceptance of what is. I've been looking at it for a while. I just included experience of screaming at earbuds that were getting tangled as I was driving down the hill in a car with the bag falling off the shoulder and the grocery bag with my containers not falling off.
On your way to the monastery?
On your way to the monastery.
I just wanted to complete the picture. On my way to France.
Yes, and getting it that I don't struggle. The suffering is caused by struggling at the inherent nature of things. Those earbuds were tangled. If I'm going downhill with a cart full of containers and an open grocery bag, they're likely to roll out. And how much of the suffering is because I don't want that to be the case, or I can't control it, or I need to be on the phone talking to someone at the monastery while I'm doing all of this. Right?
Yeah.
And.
I mean, no, I don't know where you're going with this, but the point that you're making, I just want to underline the first point, which is, it is the way things work. I want it to be different.
Yes.
It's not different, I get to throw a temper tantrum.
That's right.
That sort of defines my life. I just, there's that chapter called.
So that was my first big whoa. What is? And all of every place I found myself getting angry or feeling hatred or just irritated is because I was not accepting the inherent nature of what is. So I get to that. And the conversation turns to look at the inherent nature of you. You know, we get into the story about a certain kind of energy that is represented by this form that I've had lots of hate about for a very long time, which I've been catching on to, right? Objective, passionless, distant,
analytical,
uninvolved,
intellectual.
Hideous character. Period, right? But whatever, as compared to what it should be. And so the place where I got to in not struggling against, okay, so I'm a mountain, I don't happen to be a bubbling brook. Mountains are not bad. But the way in which that collusion was working is, let's endure, right? Endurance is the synonym for being with what is. And so
we'll just survive this. We'll survive how I am.
Survival would have caught my attention. But endurance is the quality of being able to be with.
That's like stamina.
Like stamina. Or, yeah, that's your inherent nature. You endure things.
Ouch.
And so there's no joy in that. And so I'm going to arrive at the end of my life having done all of these things in this like magic and solid way, but had no joy in the process. And so I was looking at enjoyment versus endurance. I caught on something really, really key, which I think was the race, the cult part, which is that enjoyment was also a standard. That the sunset is neutral. In other words, if I'm truly with the sunset is not enjoyment. That there's a quality of neutrality in the way life is that is exquisite to be with, and the requirement to have a joyful experience. In other words, I realize I don't know what it means to be with the sunset if I'm required to enjoy it. Because the sunset is completely neutral in its whatever it is.
It's not required to enjoy you.
Or itself. Right? I mean, it was mind-blowing to realize that nothing in life has a quality unless I'm projecting it.
I hear you people did a projection.
Right, it was big. Yeah. So that thing that it doesn't, it has fact. There's a quality of that objectivity that is so revived by conditioning about my inherent nature, which has the ability to be neutral in being able to mirror or be with any quality of existence, which is what I'm not allowed to do. Right, that inherent ability to be with life without having to enjoy it or endure it, but just be with it.
Just be with it.
Which is?
Or just be.
Or just be.
You don't even have to be with it.
Yeah, there's no.
Then it becomes
something
external.
Another. But that ability to know that I don't have to meet a standard of enjoyment either. Because the inherent nature of things is the inherent nature of things. It was unbelievable.
I love the application of it best, which is to realize that if this, I don't know if this works for you, but you know, you come down the hill, your goods tangling, things roll, and you know, phones ring, and people talk, and all of those kinds of things. And we have big energy that responds to it.
That's right.
Yeah. So we have a choice about how to respond with that big energy, right? How to be with that. It can either be something that we enjoy or something that we feel bad about or endure.
Yeah. And the application to me was also that if the circuit of the conversation doesn't get engaged, then I'm just with what's going on.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But that's the practice that most often I'm not with what's going on because I have no idea what's going on.
And it's not a story about
what
everything is.
At some level of intelligence, there's the recording of the yerba tangling, that there's just too much energy going on. And that's it. There's too much energy going on. Not that the energy has to be interpreted as me being irritated by the earbuds doing what the earbuds are doing. And to cut it off there.
Because what if, now we'll go back to enjoyment, not as a should, but just as a possibility. What if we can enjoy it all?
You know, that for me, I still have to work on that one.
But
I can get the new truth and be thrilled at the neutrality, thrilled at neutrality.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not sure I can get the enjoyment yet.
You need to have something to aspire to.
Although in meditation this morning, there was that moment of the breakthrough of the light from that the insight bubbling up. And I swear, I've been heard that, you know, those images in movies where the stars twinkle and you can hear the bells, the cascading laughs and the lens or whatever. I swear that was the image that was coming out to me. I heard bells. I heard that tinkling laughter. You know, and the bubbling of the stream and these golden butterflies dancing and all of that. And I experienced that sense of joy that is that place of being with.
Yes.
That doesn't have an attribute.
Yes. Which is the essential, it's hard to talk about it because that enjoyment that comes with being with.
That's right.
It's enjoying having whatever experience is there.
Yes.
Is so different from our conditioning. Then it's difficult to use the same words to try to point at the two very, very different experiences.
Yes, and what I got in that moment, I hope I can go report it so that I can actually get it, is that I wasn't with the cushion. I wasn't in the meditation hall. What I was with was life. That I was in awareness, which is a with that's very different from being with earbuds that are tracked tangling. Because it's still a separation to be with earbuds that are tracked tangling.
Yes.
But the connection that we lose is the connection here.
Yeah.
And that if I'm connected here to that place of bubbling whatever, whether it's a volcano or a roof or a large ocean that's solid and phlegmatic, that's the experience that I've lost when I'm in a conversation. So the neutrality allows for whatever quality, but the sensational level of that experience is that connection to life.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a very split second experience of that.
Well, thank God they are for a second.
I know.
Because otherwise, can you imagine this feeling of just into the abyss? But that's for a second. You get to go there, you get to have it all.
And you walk away from the sunset.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. I thought Jessica's hand was an action.
More unproductive, we did this exercise, homework last night, looking at three qualities that we don't really care for. and, you know, I had this moment as I'm doing it this morning, and just that sort of like men shrink where you're like, you know, ego went into this, say, oh, yeah, this is so we love ourselves at the end. And then, like, I actually got to see more, and I love those moments. And so, I came up with qualities pretty quickly. Two of them were ones that I tend to project I don't like, care for in other people, and one is one that I struggle with a lot in myself, but also find it hard when people demonstrate it. And as I was recording about, you know, these qualities and then how to own them, and then practicing being with myself in love as those qualities, what came up was that a lot of these qualities, when I am finding them undesirable in other people, there's this piece of coming from a place of wanting peace for the other person, or this sort of sense of responsibility, which comes up for me a lot, of From a good hearted, I just want people to feel good, but you know, conditioning takes it a step further where I'm like actually responsible for how other people feel, which is obviously impossible. I can barely handle it for myself. So it was just like, wow. And I just had this moment of like, girl, take a load off. You don't have to be caring. You know, you can be kind and caring or whatever without being responsible for how other people feel.
Yeah, and such a deep assumption that we've been conditioned with, that people are not equal to their lives, that the only thing worth having is happy in that untroubled, nothing wrong way. So if I'm coming up against something that's difficult or painful or a struggle, you know, we don't all get together and go, good for you. You are doing so well. You're moving through this. It's not that. It's you're unhappy and you're struggling, and I have to fix you. I have to help you. I have to do something about it, which is so disrespectful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we have the next one, which is it's all about me.
Right.
Now your problems are about me, and so I've got to do something to take care of you so that I'll be all right. And if I don't, then there's something wrong with me. All of this based on an assumption that the life experience that we're having is not the right one for us. Which, when we stop and consider it, I don't think any of us believe. Right? I mean, when we look at our lives, we certainly don't believe it. Everything that we've gone through, and the unhappy places, and what we've seen, and what we've learned, and how we've grown and changed as a result, and
right, it's what makes me, and so why would that be any different for anybody else?
Uh-huh.
And the assumptions that you make and the stories attached to those projections that you're like, well, I actually have no idea what that person's experience is in that moment.
Yes.
And so I have this story about what this projected quality means, but I have no idea if that's actually what they're experiencing right now, how they feel. And if it is, that's for them to work out. If it's not, that's for them to work out.
They get to have their life.
Yeah.
And one of the things, again, that somebody said this weekend, was looking at what is the possibility. So often we look at a situation, of course we assume we know what it is, we know what's going on, we know what the person's experience, whatever. And can we just look at it as from a perspective of what is the possibility here? And then ask from that perspective. Because when I know, well, a lot of doors are closed at that point, especially if you're being that way that I really don't care about. Why would I want to ask you about that? Because it's not going to go to any good place, right?
Right.
And yet, to get it, that, well, I don't know what's going on with her. So, how about if I just ask, how are you? Some kind of neutral sort of an inquiry, and just see if maybe we could meet.
Right. Well, and I love that. That's one of the things I've been really grateful for here, is just that, you know, compassionate speech made for clarity, and just the space that is created to, like, post a note if you have a question, and I'm excited to practice that in regular life. And I've been thinking a lot about sort of, you know, these projections and these stories, they just limit possibilities. For myself, you know, I'm a boss, I manage people, and, you know, what I've come to is, like, what makes a good boss, what makes these qualities that make me good at what I do, it's so limiting. And, you know, I think there's one coworker I have who has one of these qualities that I don't like, and I often with her, I'm like, I think, and I also say, you know, you get to do this in your way. Right? And I get to do it in my way. And at any moment, there's unlimited possibilities of what my way is or her way is. There's not one way to be a boss. There's many. And just keeping on. I think the more that we bring attention to these projections, the more we get to open up space for all these other possibilities in any moment to be whatever.
Because to me, one of the most fascinating things about projection is if I'm meeting my standards, I assume everybody's happy with me. I'm happy with me. Why wouldn't all of you be happy with me? But I'm not meeting your standards. I'm just meeting mine. I don't even know what your standards are. I'm being a good boss. All my employees should be happy
because they have a really good boss.
I wonder what they think of
this. And probably every one of them thinks something different.
Yes.
And probably throughout the day,
yes,
thinks something different. Like,
yes.
That quality when I did such and such earlier was like, yeah, I needed that. And then when I do it later, it's like, God, why did you do it that way? You know, it's impossible.
Yes. Yes. Which it argues for letting go change.
Yeah.
Right? And just realizing that it's a workshop.
Yeah.
And we get to just be present and see what we see and realize what we realize and be open and kind and loving and here as we can be. And
that can be it. Right. If it comes, being with what is in that moment. Yeah.
Knowing that we probably have no idea what is in that moment. Which is another one of those. Somebody recently said, I always look at it as, well, what is this? And I just thought, wow. Good luck. Because you think you know what that is, right? And,
well, especially when we're talking with people, what is for me, they not, you could be having a completely different answer.
Exactly. Yeah, what is
even if
is
I'm not
what
I'm
projecting.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It really is, isn't it? It really is. Again, one of those things that I heard recently, the world will mirror back for you who you are. I just thought, oh, I put that person into a projection workshop so badly. Because to believe that the world is mirrored, that if you become the person who's meeting your standards, the world will mirror that back for you. I mean, it's almost, you're almost there, but not quite getting that what the world is mirroring back. World isn't doing anything. We're not even sure there is one. let me check my hand in here. We actually have 4 minutes. Anybody got 4 minutes worth?
I just have a sort of reflection of something that was very similar to Jennifer was talking about. I had a student this year I had an issue with. I just thought he was ridiculous, and he kept kind of screwing up and making and like getting
proving.
A right.
He
exactly.
kept proving he was ridiculous.
He really, yeah. And and I would get angry with him over and over again because he kept like getting in trouble. Like I wrote him up. I never write my best kids, but I wrote this kid up because he just kept getting in trouble, and I kept getting angry with him for getting in trouble until my assistant principal insisted we sit down and talk about it. And it was so interesting.
Just you and the principal or you and the child?
The child. The three of us. I kind of initially resented, like, I'm going to spend an hour talking to this kid who just keeps screwing up.
Uh-huh.
But once we got into
I don't really care that she's ridiculous. I know, but I'd be getting angry with him all the time.
And it was just so interesting. Like, each of the moments, like, I couldn't, and that was, by the way, the quality that I didn't like in myself is when I get really angry. And I kept getting, I was like, doesn't he see? Why do you think he's doing this stuff? Like, but in that room, it turned out that he has severe attention deficit disorder to the point where he said, like, I literally cannot pay attention for more than one second, you know, what it felt like to him. And I sat there, and then he also said, and you got so angry that I couldn't listen to you anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, your anger, it was interesting, he was 15, and to go back to what you said about kids, he's like, once you started shouting at me, I stopped listening. Like, you have no right. And that, initially, I was like, oh, what? Like, I'm a teacher. I get to shout at you. That's how it works. But then I realized, like, in that moment, I've been projecting this stuff onto him. I've given him so much importance in that room. Like, and all he was doing was just being himself. And which conditioning kept you from finding out what that is.
Right?
And what he needed.
Yeah.
Because we know. That's the killer. And for all of us, all the time. Because we know. We just look here, we get the information, we know what's going on.
Yeah.
So then, what's the possibility? Well, it was so interesting, because after I walked out of that room, for the rest of the year, we were fine. Because I no longer had him where he was. He's just doing his thing, you know, and
then he can.
Yeah. Like when he was doing his math homework in my room, I picked it up. But I didn't feel anything about it. I didn't get angry with him anymore. We kind of reached the point where it was like, oh, right. But if the story had gone away, the kid who was driving me crazy.
Right.
And there was another kid who I felt like was listening to him too much. Like I created all these stories around this one. And every year, it's such a teacher thing to be a teacher. I get taught so much by them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so interesting, like, you know, in a way, it was this great gift that I got to have a meeting and actually hear.
Oh, yeah.
Because usually, you know, you don't get that.
Right. Yeah. Just such a deep assumption, isn't it? I mean, I'm trained. I'm a professional. They pay me. I know what I'm doing.
I've done this a long time.
And oftentimes, of course, conditioning wants us to take it very personally. If somebody questions our authority or questions our capability, I'm good at this. Don't ask about that. And then we forget these kind of basic things like human beings. And it's